Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to Panelcast. This is episode 44. My name is AJ.
This is Brian.
This week, we know that we had a couple weeks off, and we apologize for that, but we're back, and we've got some great stuff coming up on this episode. We're going to be talking a little bit of news bits, go over the comic books that we read. I'm going to talk a little bit about Modern Warfare 2. And we've got a special interview that we're going to be playing for you. So kick back, relax. We'll be right back after this break and we can get all this stuff started.
Hey, this is John from Hightower Comics. I'm telling everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we are back, everybody. And we're going to start going into a little bit of the comic news that's been in the news lately. I guess I was kind of redundant. Give me a break, people. I've been out for 2 weeks. Anyway, I figured I would start this one off. People might sigh a little bit when I start with this one. But this is a story about Blue Water.
Oh, God.
And the flack that they have been taking for their Princess Diana comic. The interesting thing that I have to say about all the stories that I've been reading about how it's... I agree in a way that it's kind of stupid and disrespectful in a way, but the arguments that people are using against this comic, I just find kind of ridiculous. For instance, the most flack that they took was from some woman who made the comment that comic means, you know, this is something you laugh at, and I don't find this at all comical. And it just kind of shows, really, that I think the view that most people still have of comics, they don't really realize that you can do a more serious storylines in a comic book. And in a way, I don't know, I think maybe the genre needs to move away from that title.
Of comic
find
book?
Something that's a little, yeah.
I don't think it's the maybe genre's find fault something itself. I think it's just maybe, this is the type of stuff that they have to expect when they release a Princess Di book. In that people that aren't comic book fans are going to be coming toward it. So, of course, they're going to be, you know, already prejudging it. So I don't think it's really their fault. I mean, you're asking for an entire industry to change its name when really it'd be easier for people to just wake up and realize what comic books are nowadays, you know?
I suppose that's true. Maybe they just need to have some sort of campaign to kind of show that comic books are not necessarily funny books.
Right,
but so in this case,
making a statement like that just makes it seem like she's just nitpicking at this point, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that at least in this case, while I have no interest in reading it whatsoever, I do think I kind of support Blue Water and their defense of their comic. I mean, because it's their right to make it.
Right.
And I still think it's a kind of a stupid idea, but it just the arguments that people are using against it are just they're pointless. They don't make any sense because obviously the woman has never read it. But yeah, well,
stupid.
Continuing on a little more, I guess a somber note with stories. Recently on November 3rd, the co-founder or one of the founders of Comic-Con, Shel Dorff, passed away at the age of 76, and it's probably something we would have covered sooner. You know, but we had a little bit of time off to try to take care of some personal stuff. But I thought it would be important to mention, considering the fact that, I mean, Comic-Con is such a big part of what we do. And Comic-Con really is such a big part of just the comic book genre in general. And I think kind of helped to really catapult comics into the acceptance that they have now. While they're still kind of looked down upon in certain areas. I mean, I think the San Diego Comic Convention really did a lot to sort of bring comics into the forefront, or at least start them on that path.
Right.
We also have this interesting story here about comic books and censorship. I always like mentioning these stories just because I'm sort of... I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. I don't think there's any sort of big conspiracy to censor comic books. I find it interesting when people always try to do stuff like that. This one deals with a story where apparently there was a copy of the League of Extraordinary Gentleman Black Dossier at a library. This was in Lexington, Kentucky. And apparently some of the librarians had found out what some of the content. There's, I guess, some nude illustrations in the book.
Right.
And they had, at first, originally, they had tried to ban the book from their library, and they caught a little bit of flack for it and ended up, having to leave it on the shelves. So they had debated several different methods trying to get rid of the comic, and finally one of them got the idea of just checking it out for themselves and just holding on to it. And until, I guess, somebody else had come in, saw that they had the book listed in their database, tried to check the book out and wasn't able to do so because the librarians were essentially, keeping it so that nobody else could get a hold of it. And they eventually got fired for it. And this one, I think it's a little interesting, especially, when it comes to things like libraries especially. I always kind of picture them as being these sort of a haven for intellectual free thought. It's like they're just supposed to collect information and disseminate information to people. So it's always amusing to me when there's some story about a librarian trying to censor the content of their library. It's kind of sad, really.
That's really stupid that they would just go ahead and bogart the comic like that because they don't want people reading it. That's pretty much against everything that this country has tried to establish with the freedom of press and reading and all that stuff. That it's not the librarian's job to tell them not what to read or what not to read. It's the parent's job to make sure that the kids are reading what they should be and to pre-read all the stuff beforehand. So it's ridiculous that they should even be thinking about that. And Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen, come on now. You have a bunch of characters that are really huge icons of the literary age sitting there, trying to save the world again. I'm not seeing how a little bit of nudity in there is something that should be afraid of, especially when I was a kid, I got all my nudity from National Geographic, which they have tons of at the freaking library. So it doesn't make any sense that that's what they're doing here. I just don't get it. And that chick should have gotten fired. I fully agree with that statement.
Yeah, I agree. It was actually, I think it was like two or three librarians that sort of conspired this together to do it.
Wow, well, screw all of them.
Yeah, like I said, it's something where I don't see how somebody that works at a library would want to do something like that. I mean, that's not the point of a library, is to hold on to information. It's to disseminate it to people.
When you describe what you see a library as...
It's supposed to be
as
the free exchange of information.
Right. You describe when you see a library, you picture it as, this place of disseminating information and doing research and everything. For me, when I have the image of a library in my head, all I see is a bunch of old ladies telling me what I can and can't do. So maybe in this case, that's pretty much exactly what had happened and what kind of library it was.
Yeah, I think so. Continuing along the line of comic books as literature and just that sort of theme, it was an interesting research paper that was released by a group called Simba Information. They basically are a group that does market intelligence and media for media and publishing industries. They do research into things like sales and, sales of particular genres. And they basically just study everything about media and publishing industries and then release their reports on what findings they have. But they released a report, which you can find on the website. You have to just dig around for it a little bit. About essentially, they found that I think I could say essentially one more time, that of adult adult book purchasers, about 1 in 10 of them purchases comic books. So I thought that was sort of an interesting. So that's about 1/10 of people that shop at bookstores buy comic books. That's actually quite a bit more than I had thought.
That's because the other 90% are hiding out at Barnes & Noble reading all the comics instead of buying them.
Yeah. They just sit back in the corner and read it so that they don't have to feel like they're a comic book buyer.
Yep. Hey, I'm guilty of it. I'll go to Barnes & Noble and hide out and read some graphic novels or something when I can't afford to buy them that week. But when I do and can't afford to buy them, I head over to my local comic book shop, Four Color Fantasies, and I buy them. That is not a commercial, I swear.
No, I agree. That's, that's where I've been buying most of my comics lately.
So anything else you got?
Yeah, I've got one more in my little theme here. There's another story. This one's actually a story that was picked up by a number of different news sites. And this was a report about some research that was done at the University of Illinois, and some researchers there did some experiments that essentially showed positive findings that comics actually do help children become more literate. So maybe those librarians from that other story should have read this.
Yeah, no shit.
This is something that... this one was really interesting, and I was surprised at the number of different outlets that had picked it up, too. But yeah, they don't go into a whole lot of detail, and I'm still trying to see if I can find the actual report published by the University of Illinois regarding it, what exactly they found. But so far, it's all been pretty unanimous. And there was one story that I read where they actually talked to one of the researchers who talks about their findings in a sort of a general way. It just says that the pictures sort of aid the kids in paying attention to the words. And so, yeah, I want to find this one, maybe do a little bit more reading on it so I can get a better idea of what exactly they're saying that it does. Because I'm not going to say that comic books are the best way for children to learn, but it essentially is showing that comic books should not be looked down upon as they are by a lot of the population.
No, they shouldn't be. I mean, people learn differently.
And unless you have anything else to add.
Well, like I was saying, people learn differently. So, I mean, yeah, some people can learn just by reading words off the page. Some people need the visual aids to go along with them. You know, and at the end of the day, who cares as long as your kid is reading? You know, that's what you should be happy about.
Definitely.
So if you're done, I've got a couple
of stories. I think that's pretty much
going to
wrap up the news segment here, unless you have anything else that...
Yeah, so let me go ahead. Real quick, there's some new trailers up on the Forbidden Panel website that you should check out. We've got Clash of the Titans up there, and we've got Kick-Ass, which is sitting up there for you to check out. A little bit of news I wanted to talk about. Dollhouse has been officially canceled. It will finish out its 13-episode arc this season and then be gone for good, which I'm kind of sad about. Dark Tower has... J.J. Abrams has decided not to direct it. Basically, he's just saying he's got too much on his plate and he won't be able to concentrate and give it, you know, its due. So he's stepping down in hopes that somebody else can pick it up. What else I got? I can't remember anything else. So check out our website. Check out the news section. I update our Twitter and everything daily with all the news and stuff. So go take a look and let us know what you think about the news. Please don't be afraid to post on our forums. We won't flame you for it. We promise. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with some extra goodies.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce and...
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're going to have to excuse us on this episode. I know we take 2 weeks off, and then we're glotching up already, but we're having a little bit of technical difficulties recording, and we want to apologize for that. Anyway, having said that, since you guys are such loyal fans and you don't care, you're still listening to us because you rock. For this next segment, we're going to talk about Brian and I recently went out to Los Angeles and met with the writers of the comic book We Kill Monsters, put out by Red 5 Comics, Laura Harkham and Christopher Leone. Now, these are two really cool people who have written scripts and produced movies before and TV shows. You may be familiar with them if you've seen The Lost Room, which is a short miniseries that was on Sci-Fi last year. Well, they've developed a comic book, and we've interviewed them before at San Diego Comic-Con. But they were nice enough to invite us back out there, and we sat down and talked to them for a little bit. So this next segment will be their interview. So kick back, relax, and just listen to it, and we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is AJ. I'm here with Chris and Laura of We Kill Monsters. Last time we talked to you guys was at San Diego Comic Con. If you don't mind giving us a refresher, talking about your comic and what it's about.
Alright, so We Kill Monsters is about two brothers in a small town who are mechanics who one night discover that actually monsters are starting to invade their town. And one brother gets bit on his arm and becomes essentially infected with monster DNA, and he wakes up the next morning and he's got this super strong monster arm, and as a result they need to kill more monsters in order to keep him alive.
He becomes like addicted to this monster DNA.
Yeah.
And so then in each issue we're introducing a new monster, and then we're also revealing a little bit of the mystery about where these monsters are coming from. And in the six-issue limited series, so in the finale, we're going to find out the answer to that question.
Cool. And how long have you guys been doing, putting this out?
The first issue came out in July, right? So it's been six issues monthly on from Red 5 Comics. And so the last one came out in December.
Cool. And how are you enjoying doing the story?
That's great. We love it.
Like it?
So much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's nice. I mean, you know, it's nice to be able to kind of do kind of exactly what we want, you know, and we, you know, sort of have our own, you know, we're really happy with the artists that we picked, and, you know, so it's cool to be able to just, you know, write an issue, and you know, Brian Chiarella is like doing our pencils, and now, and inks for a lot of it, and, you know, it's like he draws it, and, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's a cool process.
How did you, one day decide that you guys wanted to do a comic, or were your approach to do it as a comic, or just write a story, or how did this all come about?
It actually started with the title. Chris had the idea for the title one day, and we just both thought it was hilarious, and we thought, well, what can we do with a story called We Kill Monsters, and we started talking about what it would be, and very, very initially thought of it as a TV show, because we had actually just finished writing a TV show called The Lost Room, and so we thought, oh, well, maybe this could be our next TV show, but then we realized that, you know, anything that we could imagine could be drawn, whereas in television, with budgets the way they are, especially now, anything we imagine might have to be, anything we could imagine might have to be very scaled back, you know, for TV, and might not be the show that we really want it to be.
Plus the production value would be a lot higher and stuff.
Right, so we thought, why don't we do this as a comic book, because then it can be exactly what we want it to be. It can be exactly our vision, as long as we find the right artist, which we did, you know, with Brian.
And how did that come about? Did you guys, like, do a search, an open search, or just put it out there and ask people to come test it out, or did you know who you wanted right away?
Well, no, I mean, we just started going to comic book shops and, like, looking at comic books, you know, and, like, trying to find, like, cause, I mean, there's a lot of artists we like, but we were trying to find somebody, like, tonally for this book, like, kind of was a match, and Brian had put out this book called The Engineer, and it had, like, kind of big creatures in it, but it had this kind of cool style,
and a little bit of a sense of humor, which is, you know, something else, though, that our book has.
Right.
Yeah, so we just kind of, like, we just really liked his style, and we asked him, like, hey, would you do a freelance book? And he was like, yeah, you know. So, yeah, so it's just kind of how it started.
Yeah, we got really lucky. We got really, really lucky with Brian.
So where did you take it? How did you get involved with Red 5 with the project?
Well, then, so what we did was we went to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con in July of 2008, and met with a bunch of different publishers and pitched them the idea for the book. And Red 5, we met with Paul Enns at Red 5, and he just totally got it. He totally got what we were going for. He loved Brian's art, and so we decided to go with them.
So did you walk in with already touched, like a zero issue or a pre-done issue, or just test drawings in the script?
No, we had actually, I think, 18 inked pages, ink and letter. They weren't colored yet, but Oh, were they even letters?
I don't
they
were not letters.
No, they weren't
yeah,
letters.
Yeah, we didn't
you're
have
right.
our letterer yet.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just 18 ink pages. And we had a script, but like no one even read the script. Like we just kind of told them the story and just, you know, just check it out. So, you know, it's a good kind of style test. You know.
So, we discussed this previously, but you said that this is your first foray into comics, right? How's that transition going from TV and scripting to comic books going?
Well, for me, I mean, I grew up collecting comic books. I've read 10 million comic books, but, you know, it's a little different to write one. I mean, I think the biggest weird thing is, like, you know, every time you write a page, it's, like, trying to figure out, like, well, is this one big panel? Is this seven little panels? Like, that's a weird choice to make every time. And so it's, like, sort of getting the hang of pacing and, you know, and, of course, it's a physical book and pacing, you know, trying to get, you know, the big reveals on the even pages and, you know, just kind of basic things like that. But like I said, you know, it made sense, but it's a little getting used to.
How does it work with both of you guys writing the book? Talk me through it.
Sure. Yeah, we came up with the story together, but Chris ended up writing the scripts for all of the books because I did not have as easy a transition from writing TV and film scripts to writing comic scripts, because in my mind it's much more, writing for comics is much more like directing, because you're calling each shot in like intimate detail in a comic book in a way that you don't do in film or TV writing, and so I couldn't really get my head around that. So we came up with a story together, and then Chris wrote all the scripts.
Nice. So, I can't think of any more questions right now. What can we expect in the upcoming, I mean, the issues right now are on number four, and 5 and 6 will be coming out soon, and the series is wrapping up, I'm guessing, within the next 2 months, right, by January, right?
December, I think, yeah.
December? So what can we expect in the next 2 issues?
We won't tell shit. You have to read, I don't know, I mean, it wraps up, I mean, I think, you know, it wraps up in, like, one complete story, like 6 issues, so, yeah, you read all 6, it's done, but, you know, like a lot of our ideas, we always like the idea of there being almost like ending with a new beginning in a way, so that, you know, not just, I mean, I just like that as an ending, but, you know, also for it, you know, if we did another 6-issue run sometime or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was the next question. Will there be a sequel for this? Is there interest in a sequel?
I guess time will tell.
I think I would just add to what Chris said, that, you know, you'll definitely find out where the monsters are coming from. We answer that question. But then we leave a little door open for, you know, the story to continue.
Okay. So basically it's kind of like a cliffhanger-ish. Like, you'll wrap it up, but if we want more, we gotta wait.
Yeah, but it's not gonna end on a cliffhanger, man.
It has a definite end, but if we want more, it's kind of like a cliffhanger.
The door's wide open.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's still, and like, we left some questions kind of unanswered just because it's, I don't know, I always think it's better anyway. It's like, it's better not to answer everything, but I know that maybe it's frustrating sometimes, but I don't know, I think it's more interesting usually, you know. Like I said, it's a complete satisfying ending.
Yeah,
I think.
And do you find that, you know, having written scripts and doing The Lost One before, I'm guessing that you guys had a pre-established fan base. Do you see that carrying over and then picking up new fans as well, or how is that working out?
Well, yeah, there's a...
Can we give a shout-out to our Lost One fans? they're called the Collectors Forum, and yeah, they've been incredibly supportive of us and the comic.
Yeah, they were some of the first guys to actually run out and get it, and that was super cool.
And so now you have more of a building fan base going on. How's that working out for you guys? Like, I see you guys are doing a lot more signings, and like Golden Apple and Earth 2. Do you like the turnout? Is it exciting? Is it something new? Or?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great when somebody who's actually not a fan of ours, I mean, not that we obviously welcome our fans from Lost Room, but it's great when somebody completely new, you know, comes to us because they like the book, and, you know. So, yeah.
And is it, the people that have watched the show coming over to the comic book, do you see for them, like,
you know, let's say they haven't read comics before, but you see that they're doing it now because of you guys. Do you see their reaction as being a very positive one, or do you see a lot of it happening?
I don't know, that's like a subset of a subset, I don't know. Seems like anybody who probably watched our show probably has read comic books, but I don't know. I don't know if I ever ran into anybody exactly like that.
Yeah, I guess we don't really have the data or the research on that, but...
It's 9 guys.
But we can say that we sent a lot of them signed issues of the comic, and they were super psyched about that. So my guess would be they are comic book readers.
Cool. So I'm presuming you guys are very happy with the turnout and how everything's going with it, right?
Yeah.
What can we expect from you guys next? Are you allowed to talk about it?
We have something in the works that's cool, but I can't really.
It's not a done deal yet. But we will keep you. And we'll keep you updated.
Okay, well then other than what you can't talk about, what would you like to do next?
A show. basically this thing is like what we want to do next.
And more comics.
Yeah.
So you guys would definitely like to do more comics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm in love with it. It's actually just like so much quicker to just go from A to B in a way of a comic book. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we can write it. You know, we can hire our own artists. We can draw dirty. It's like we have it and out, you know, rather than, you know, writing a movie script, which may or may not get sold, and then you still. What the odds of a movie 1 in 10 or something being made, you know what I mean?
Once it gets sold,
right, you chances
of it being made.
And then if it's any good.
Right, exactly, it doesn't get totally screwed up in production.
So in some ways it's just such a nice, like, direct way to, like, tell a story. You just do a cool project, and it's like, okay, people actually read it, you know?
Right.
I don't know, I like that about it.
Now, with the Lost Room, how much filming input did you guys have? Any creative?
We produced it.
So. Yeah, you produced it, so you were able to say almost like in a director feel where like you say, well, I don't like that, but that may be in, or you had a lot of influence over the filming of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a 3.5 month shoot, and we were on set for the whole 3.5 months, and then also supervised post.
So you had your hand in almost all of it.
Yeah.
Except for the acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you have liked to have been in the acting?
No.
God, no.
I'm waiting on that one. Well, thanks for taking time out. Did you guys want anything else you wanted to say before we went?
Thanks. Thank you for taking the time, and thanks to Forbidden Panel for, supporting.
He's red in the face. No problem. And so the website is WeKillMonsters.com, and we can expect the next 2 issues, 5 in November and 6 in December.
That's right. Yep.
And can we expect a trade paperback or anything coming out after that?
Yeah, we hope in the probably in the first or second quarter of next year.
Awesome, cool.
But don't wait for the trade. Go get it.
Okay, now, well, how are you guys enjoying the success of the comic? Is that...
Yeah. it's fun to get into this other part of the industry that, you know, we did, other than being fans, that we, you know, were involved in a professional or creative way before. So that's been really cool. It's been cool to meet other comic artists and other writers and be on panels with them or, you know.
Have you both, you said you grew up on comics, right?
Yeah.
Did you grow up on comics as well?
I actually didn't. I was a huge, I'm like a Batman fanatic, so there was...
It's a weird that a girl grew up not in the comics, but yeah.
I know. I've never, ever heard of that. Never.
Well, the Batman thing was that my poor mom thought there was something wrong with me because I was obsessed with Batman.
And was it the comic you were obsessed with or Adam West?
It was, first it was the TV show, but then the comic, and then, you know, like, when I was a kid, I liked Batman underoos instead of Wonder Woman underoos. So I guess I can see why my mom was a little concerned, but then when I worked as a studio executive before Chris and I teamed up to start writing, and I worked at Warner Brothers, and I was in charge of the DC Comics projects, so I got a kind of crash course in comics from the DC folks, like Paul Levitz and Jeanette Kahn at the time was running DC, so
we blame you for all the bad DC movies they put out.
She developed.
So it's your fault. All right, now we know, guys.
So that was kind of my comic education.
And you?
Well, I grew up obsessed, so I had, I still have a huge collection at my parents' house, basically. I never shipped out to California, but no, I'm saying, I think the weird thing about putting in our own comic book is like, it's pretty surreal to like bag your own comics,
Right.
So it's like, it's like you put the bag, you have the comic book in the bag and the backing board, and then you tape it up, and like all of a sudden you're like 12 years old again.
Right.
And then it's actually, it was weird with the first issue, right? But then, now we have four of them out, and I have this box full of, I can scroll through, and there's issue one, there's issue two, there's issue three, there's issue four, and it's cool, but it's this weird geeked out thing,
Right, especially seeing your own name on it.
Yeah, well, it's just it's my thing,
right.
I draw it, I made that up. Right, it's cool.
As writers, it's got to be weird to see anything that you write down be visually created, especially in film and comics as well. So, how are you guys, do you like the adaptations that are coming out about it? How are the visuals that you write being translated into picture or film? Are they pretty much what you think about, or?
Our artists have just made everything better. I mean, not that we didn't think our scripts were good, but, they've taken it to a new level.
But there's a lot of times, it's just not, there's sometimes they come up with things where you go, whoa, it's not what I was thinking, but that's cool. Or Ryan says, maybe we can cut this panel here or add a panel, and it's great. And then there's sometimes where I think, no, it's all wrong, I'm sure I drive them crazy, but there's some things I get very specific obsessions about,
right.
And other things I'm easy,
And then the cover for issue four, right, Rhonda's, our colorist, Rhonda Pattinson, she did a color scheme that we never would have dreamed of, and it was such a shock to us, but we loved it. So, they'll just come up with things sometimes that wouldn't have even occurred to us.
Right.
But, they're fantastic.
I know, as reading books when I grew up, you read a Stephen King book, and then you see the movie, no, that's not what I pictured at all. But then, once I started writing a comic book and seeing my artist draw it up, I'm like, oh, wow, didn't even think about that dimple that he should have there until he adds to his character or something, Which leads me to another question. What are you guys reading now? Are you guys reading comics now, and what is it that you're reading?
I'm reading, someone just gave me all the Ultimates, the Ultimate Avengers, basically, which, I grew up with the Avengers was, my favorite comic book.
Right.
As a kid, Captain America were, my favorite books, and, so someone said, reinvented the Avengers, so I was like, what? Because I don't really have any superhero comic books anymore. But I love those, and I was, I heard they were going to make an Avengers movie. I was like, can you make an Avengers movie?
Right.
It's not just, and then I read those, I was like, okay, now I get it, They're cool.
Queen and Country. I love Greg Rucka, and I'm just about to pick up Stumptown, his new book.
I haven't read Queen and Country.
It's a crime. I don't know if anybody else has made this comparison, but to me it seems like the TV show The Wire. It's the comic version of that, because it's a really, really sophisticated, layered kind of crime story.
Is it as in-depth as The Wire? I got lost in The Wire real easy. I felt like I was part of it. I had to get into it.
Yeah, it's super. Queen and Country, when you just open the book, there's a cast of characters at the beginning, and there's 40 people. and you're how can there be 40 people in this book? But then it works. It's all these different levels of government agents, government kind of secret agents working in conjunction with each other to solve international crimes.
One last thing before we wrap up. Where are you guys heading to next? Maybe signings or anything? Do you have anything coming up?
Oh, we might do one more. It'll be in Los Angeles, and the store's to be announced.
Okay, so Golden Apple or Meltdown or something like that?
One of
those. Yeah.
Check your website and we'll find out, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. What you just heard there was an interview that we did with Laura Harcum and Christopher Leone of We Kill Monsters. Yeah, it was pretty cool going out there and being able to talk to him and stuff. We apologize for any background and ambient noise that you were hearing. We were recording at a coffee shop out of Melrose. And, of course, the minute we bring out the recorder, everybody in the restaurant has to talk. It was kind of annoying.
And all the sirens and everything.
And all the sirens and everything, yeah, it was very annoying. But at the same time, we want to thank them for sitting down with us and then updating us on what's going on. If you haven't had a chance, please pick up We Kill Monsters. It's put out by Red 5 Comics. It's a really cool comic book. I'm digging it. Issue 4 should be out this week. Issue 5 comes out in December, or 6 comes out in December, at which point it'll wrap up the series. I like, you know, short stories, short miniseries like that. You know, you don't need a lot of background or anything. You just dive right into the story, and then you're in and out, and you're good to go. I like stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad that I hadn't actually read the comic.
Yeah, you should. You should feel horrible.
I'll pick it up.
I'm sure you will. If not, I'll force it down your throat. You know, one way or another, you'll read it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, the next time I see them, it won't be as awkward.
Right. So yeah, if you got a chance, check it out. They also have a website. It's www.wekillmonsters.com, as well as red5comics.com. So you can go and read up on all the information and decide for yourself if you want to pick it up. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some comic books that we've written. So be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
And we are back from our break. Now it's time, I think, to talk a little bit about comics. Finally got around to reading the comic that I had purchased, The Stuff of Legend. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And The Stuff of Legend is... it's a really kind of hard to describe. The best kind of describe it in a way is Toy Story meets the Dark Tower. There's not that it's really similar to those two storylines, but just there's certain elements of it that kind of reminded me of both of those. I mean, the Toy Story element obviously is that it involves sort of anthropomorphic toys that come to life to rescue their owner who has been taken by the boogeyman. This is the basic plot line of the book, and I have to say that so far I've really enjoyed it. It's really fantastic. The story and the writing are done really well. The art for this is really beautiful. It's done in sort of like this really loose pencil sketch with some light coloring, mostly a sort of like a sepia tone scale to it. But it involves the basic storyline is that this kid wakes up one day and. Ends up getting like these sort of dark tentacle things come out of the closet and drag him in, and so all of the toys come to life and sort of realize what has just happened and decide that they're going to start on this quest to venture into the boogeyman's realm to try to get this kid back. And the characters in this story are all sort of these really iconic characters. I mean, they have the sort of dour, gruff teddy bear that they have, like the heroic, you know, toy army man character, and the princess, and the piggy bank, who's sort of like a worrywart and kind of is really concerned with his own safety because he's so fragile, and a lot of interesting characters in this book, and I would really recommend that anybody go out there and pick this up. It's the ending of the first book, really, like, the story is a little mild until it gets right to the end when some of the shit starts happening, and then you're just like, oh, crap. You know the story is going to get good from this point on. And it's interesting, too, because when these toys venture into the land of that the boogeyman controls, they sort of become, like, actual people. They're no longer confined to their toy form. So, you know, the teddy bear becomes like an actual bear, and the toy soldier becomes a man, and they have like this sort of like wind up like fairy robot thing. It's really interesting. I don't know exactly how to describe it to do it any sort of justice, but I would recommend anybody go out there and pick it up.
Sounds like it was pretty cool. I liked looking at the graphics, and I breezed over it real quick before when you had picked it up. It seemed very interesting, and when you're done with it, I'd like to read it if you don't mind.
It just, I don't know, it seems like a really cool novel concept, and, you know, I'm always behind that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll bring it over to you one day. It's really good. Like, it starts off a little bit slow while the characters are sort of getting established into their personalities, but from the point that they enter into the Boogeyman's realm, it picks up from there, and it starts bringing out a lot of interesting things, and there's a lot of intrigue going on, a lot of you know, set up for the story to come, and they give you a pretty big secret right off the bat to kind of make this storyline a little more interesting. I'm not going to say what it is because I want people to go out and read this.
Well, I like how they package the book itself. I mean, you know, we're all familiar with how comic books look in that they're pretty long height-wise as opposed to width-wise. Now, the common saddle stitch that we're all used to. I like how they package this book in that it's really wide, but not that tall, so it's very familiar of the old golden sealed books that we read as a kid. You know, the ones with the little foil mm-hmm. binding on the side.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of that style of book, and I like that because it seems like it's more aimed for kids. Plus, the cover reminds me of the that scene in Blade Runner when the toy maker, his toys are coming to life and stuff. So I kind of dug on that.
Yeah, just seeing the cover art on it is what really caught my eye. At first, I looked at it and I was like, huh, that looks pretty interesting. And then I flipped through it and I was like, wow, I really want to read this. And so I ended up buying it and I was glad I did. It's a good comic.
Awesome, good to hear it. Any other comics you want to talk about?
It's the only one I've been able to get to so far.
Slacking, Brian. You're slacking.
I am.
All right, well, I've read a few comic books in the past couple of weeks, none of which I really want to touch base on because, I mean, I posted it up in my review in my column. Somebody Checked My Brain was the title of it. But I'll touch base on it a little bit. I read I Killed Giants by Joe Kelly, and it was put up by Image. You may have heard us talk a little bit about it on the interview with Chris and Laura. It's really, really, really cool comic book. It's about seven chapters long, seven issues long. I can't speak today. I haven't had my coffee yet, people. But it focuses on this little girl who lives in this fantasy land and seems to believe that there are giants out there, and her job is to protect the world from these giants. Yeah, it takes a nice little twist into the storyline and really adds some harsh realities into it toward the end. I really recommend that you pick it up. It's really cool, and the artwork by JMK Nimura, I hope I didn't butcher his name too right, is really, really, I don't know, it just stands out real good. Because it's very basic, but when the action or the powerful scenes come out, he seems to pull off all the gloves and makes it stand out on its own. So if you haven't had a chance, take a look at it. The next thing I wanted to talk about that I wrote up about was Boom Studios' Irredeemable. This one reminds me very much of The Mighty, which I am also reading. And where the iconic superhero that everybody worships, Superman-esque type person, goes bad. And, I don't know, it does a really good job in picking up with the violence and everything and the storylines and all that. So if you have a chance, pick it up. But it seems like a story that we've already read before somewhere. You know, everyone seems to be picking up on the whole what if Superman went bad type of vibe that's out there. Again, being like The Mighty. So, you know, read it and give it your own opinion. Northlanders by Brian Wood, who is a favorite of mine, having read Demo, Local, Deviate, and DMZ. Basically about little stories about Vikings and what it means to be a Northlander. It's pretty cool in that you don't have to follow... There's no one character that you need to follow. It has different story arcs that deal with different characters and different stories and stuff like that. So it's more of an anthology more than anything else. So if you pick up a trade, you don't have to worry about whether you're picking up number one or number two or number three. You're getting a new story anyway, so you don't have a lot of backstory to worry about. 28 Days Later, which is put out by Boom Studios, I read. The comic is good, it's just I don't like the characters. And if you want to know why, again, go read my review. I go into a lot of detail about it. Most of my time this week has been playing Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty. And this game is pretty freaking badass. I'm loving it. I'm about halfway through the story mode right now. I've been mostly playing with Forbidden Panels Ryan,
over in Wisconsin. He and I have been doing the Special Ops co-op mode and running through there, and that's been a lot of fun. I haven't yet to pop on the multiplayer, which was the selling point of number one, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1. I'm waiting until I have, you know, an entire day or a lifetime to devote to it, because from my understanding, you're just going to get lost into it. For those of you who picked up the game on the Xbox 360, you'll notice that you'll be playing with some PC people players, because Microsoft didn't bother giving dedicated servers to each, you know, to the PC people as well as the Xbox people. So that may work out as a bonus, or it may work out as a hindrance. I'm not too sure. I have a PlayStation 3, and we have our own dedicated server, so we get to play with those people. So yeah, those are the books I've read and the games I'm playing. So if you want to play with me or against me, my name is Draven, D-R-A-Y-V-N, on the PlayStation Network. And you can also follow any one of us as Forbidden Panel on the PlayStation Network and try and play against us in that manner. Brian?
Well, I don't have a PS3, but this is just another reason why I want to get one. This game looks badass.
Yeah, it's pretty slick.
But other than that, I don't really have anything else. I guess that pretty much is going to wrap up this segment.
Cool. Then we shall be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Panelcast. This is our 44th episode, and we're very proud of the fact that we've been putting it out for such a long time and sticking with it. And this is our final segment. We really don't have much to touch base on, in that we pretty much talked about everything we had to talk about. I do want to point out a couple things. Again, I have a new column up, so if you get a chance, check it out. Brandy has a new column up where she reviews Guillermo del Toro's book. What is it called? The Strain. Apparently she wasn't too fond of it, but I'll let you read it and find out for yourself. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. We want to remind everybody and beg them, please, please, please post some comments on the forums and let us know what you think and how we're doing. If you have any comics that you want us to look at for you and review, or at least hear our opinion of, just leave us a message or send us an email, Brian@ForbiddenPanel.com and AJ@ForbiddenPanel.com. I want to remind everybody also that the second week of December is the Rose Bowl Convention, where we will be there signing and talking to people, handing out free stuff, as well as promoting our ZKS comic book, which is all done and drawn. It's just been sent over to Brian so he can start handling all the layouts and lettering. I am very excited about that.
I'm definitely excited about that.
What else have we got? You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Forbidden Panel, on both sides. That's pretty much it I can think of. Make sure you visit your local comic book stores. If not, visit Four Color Fantasies and Rancho Cucamonga. FourColorFantasies.com. Check out BrandyAusset.com, NecrosapienPress.net. I'm sorry, Necrosapien.net.
You did it too.
No. At least I remembered it was .net. You always say .com. So there. We want to thank the dogs that are barking behind Brian, because without them, we'd actually have a silent show and it might work out.
There are special guests for this week.
There are special guests. Not only are Chris and Laura our special guests, but we get the dogs barking in the background. Make sure you check out the trailers for Clash of the Titans and Kick Ass, which are on our front page. We'd like to know what you think about it. That's pretty much all I've got for the week. Brian, did you have anything to say before we bounced out?
I just want to ask anybody if they would like to be on a Geek Girls podcast, or know somebody who would like to be on a Geek Girls podcast, go ahead and contact me, because I want to do more episodes.
Indeed. That's Brian with a Y at ForbiddenPanel.com, or just whinylittlebitch@ForbiddenPanel.com. I'll make sure it gets to him. Okay, that's about it. Make sure you click on our affiliates on our website on the front page. SplitReason.com is an awesome place to buy geek clothes and stuff, and you know, we get a little bit of percentage when you do, so go check them out. The Goddess Guy, which is written by Brandy Osset, she did an awesome book job compiling all the list of goddesses together and put it in one book and printed it out.
Yes, we actually have an actual printed author on our website. Imagine that. Check out HightowerComics.com.
So weird.
I know. Expect some good stuff from them. Girls drawing girls, and so on and so forth. For Brian, this is AJ. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next episode, episode number 45, where I promise it will be here in a week. Thanks, guys.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.